Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God, our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon focus comes to us from Hebrews 2. We're using verses 10 through 18. And if you wish to follow along, these verses are printed for you in your worship folder as we read them earlier. As we begin, let's bow our heads in prayer. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We presently are benefiting from one of the three major festivals of the church year at which we see a great family attendance. Christmas is one of the three occasions for a church in which we see visiting relatives, former sons and daughters of the congregation who have begun their own lives, and all kinds of other distant relatives returning home. Perhaps they come back to visit mom and dad. Perhaps they come back for a high school reunion or to visit their brothers and sisters. Whatever the occasion may be, it is a blessing for us as a Christian family, as a congregation that gathers around God's Word. Indeed, we are a family, and Trinity has always recognized that. We are a family united in Christ. Our lesson from Hebrews 2 speaks exactly along those same lines. And pulling our theme directly from our words, we would properly say Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. Now, the phrasing here might cause one to think that the mention is only for the men present. But when Jesus references them as brothers, he references them as his siblings. And the them would be us. We, by great and divine privilege, are to be considered the brothers and sisters even of the Christ. He's going to make that very clear for us as we work through our lesson. He's going to focus on those, the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy. And in that two-part development, he's going to allow us to see how we are the brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, understanding family is not a new concept for us, and that's why it is a beneficial start for us. When we look at that idea of family, especially at a time when we are gathered together as we presently are, we have the familiarity of being among each other. Perhaps there is some kind of family reunion, an annual event of sorts that might be within our own family schedules. We might say to each other, well, we'd like to come together. And where are we going to do so? Are we going to do so in Belle Plaine this year? Or are we going to do so off in Austin, Texas, or Madison, Wisconsin, or wherever the family might be gathered? We come together as a family, and we look for our matriarch or our patriarch. And what I mean is we look for that eldest, that most revered mom or dad, grandma or grandpa, perhaps even great-grandma or great-grandpa, that one person within the family to whom everybody returns. It doesn't matter if you're one of the oldest members or one of the youngest, you always make sure to go visit that person. Within our Christian family, certainly, that patriarch would be our Heavenly Father. As we come together in our weekly reunion, as we unite again around God's Word, it is to the Father whom we turn. We bring our prayers to Him, including even our Lord's Prayer. We bring our concerns later in our service for those individual needs of our congregation, our intercessory prayers. And it is to our Father to whom we will confess our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. Yes, in our weekly family reunion, we return to the Father and make sure that we are at His side for our hour of worship. But we have also in this family reunion our brother. And here our family becomes quite a bit more unique. Our brother is Jesus Christ. Our brother stepped into our family and saw it as fitting and good to become like one of us. And again, here, we're not unfamiliar. We're not left without analogy. Within our modern families, is it not often a common practice that as a young woman or a young man becomes married off, they will drift over also into the other family? They'll retain their original family ties. They'll keep their connections with mom and dad, but they'll also add to those ties now a new mom and a new dad. And perhaps with that family, they'll add new brothers and sisters. Where that young woman or that young man will perhaps retain some of the family traditions they grew up with, they'll now also bring into their own schedule and their own pattern and practice some of the things that that new family does. If that new family has a specific type of meal that they enjoy on Christmas, well, this will become the new meal of that young man or young woman. If they have a practice or a place to which they commonly return, we, in that sense, adopt part of the nuances of each family. As Jesus came to us, he adopted some of the nuances of our family. Unfortunately, Jesus came into a family that was broken, a home that was not comfortable with itself, brothers and sisters who were fighting with each other back and forth. Jesus calls us brothers and sisters, and the one who makes men holy stepped into our family. He kept from his previous family his own holiness. He didn't inherit that from us, but he took on everything else. As that little Jesus was born in the manger, he inherited our family. He did so by taking upon himself the entirety of our human nature, our frailties, our troubles, our temptations. There was nothing he avoided except for sin. Like us, we could easily say, as the scriptures do, that Jesus had times of hunger, Jesus had times of thirst, Jesus had times of weariness, Jesus even had times of sorrow. But what Jesus did not have were times of sin. Why would a perfect son who came from perfect family ever set aside any of that to step into our family? Why would he come among us who bite each other, who stab each other, who attack each other, who find so much great room for gossip? Why would he see that as the right course of action? Because Jesus indeed comes to make us holy. He comes and takes upon himself all of our human condition so that he can bury it. He was born in that manger so that it would be unmistakable that he has taken upon himself our lowly nature. And then he walked the same very life that we live. He walked and talked under the very brunt of the devil's burden of temptation. Everything that bothers you, everything that trips you up, was also a temptation for Jesus. And he took each and every one of those things with him each and every day of his life until ultimately he ended them on the cross. It became possible that which should have been impossible. Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, who had done no wrong, for the sake of his family, died under the weight of everything wrong. Jesus Christ, our brother, for the sake of us, his brothers and sisters, did everything necessary for the family. So we now have one who in the midst of our own family knows everything we're going through. We have one who, like us in every way, has been tempted. We have one to whom we can turn. And now here again we know the benefit of family. It should be true that within our families we are able to relate to each other. In those quiet moments, or at least in those Christmas moments, we should be able to sit down and allow each other to share. Here are the things that are so very tough in my life, And then we, as true blood-born brothers and sisters, we should be able to step up for our family and say, well, maybe here's where I can help you. Or here's where it's going to be okay. Or here's where family does for family. Where we already know that, and we who are simple, frail human beings, we can see such a greater example through the work, the effort, the life of Christ. He saw us in our human condition, and he who would consider himself our brother said, this is not good enough for my adopted family. He makes us holy. He makes us forgiven. He takes all those wrongs, all those slips of the tongue, because you see, as a family, we do indeed know each other. And so we know also the very things that slip under the radar, that slip through the armor. We know those very attacks, those very comments that are biting indeed. We know how to hurt each other. And we, who still live here in the world of sin, are very good at sin ourselves. We find for ourselves the opportunities indeed to gossip, to make hay out of the problems that have happened to someone else. Have you heard about what's going on? Oh. And by trading off the problems that they're receiving, perhaps having that moment of glory or at least attention for ourselves. Yeah. As a family, we know each other's secrets, and we share those secrets in order that we ourselves might gain. We have been adopted into God's holy family. His son, now our brother, is among us. His testimony is always before us, as the cross will always be at the front of our congregation. And so we as a family strive to be made new. We strive to put away all those old habits of our old family. We set them aside, realizing them no longer to be good enough. And now we step into that which God would have us do. Yeah, people may still attack us. People may still wound us. Those whom we hold dear, those matriarchs and patriarchs with which we still surround ourselves, they may find their opportunity to come after us once or twice or even many more times. Yet we do not flinch from the old family. We find strength. We find solace from the new. Family is an extremely important concept. We know this from Scripture itself. We know this even greater from what Christ was willing to do. How Christ surrendered himself for us. We who are meek, frail human beings, we who were destined for destruction, have been redeemed only because of the work of our brother. He has set us free. He has bought us by the blood of his own sacrifice. He has done the work made necessary by the Father. He has atoned for us. Jesus is not ashamed to call us his brothers and sisters. He is the one who makes men holy, and we are the men, the women who have been made holy by his sacrifice. May we focus on this, the pattern of our new family. Amen.